He taina that you can't learn Hakash Tchilas Hazama from the ratio of the Brice. The ratio of the Brice was the case where the Edom Zemim were the ones that said that he's only Chayav Demei Shein. And Rava had wanted to use that as an example of Edom Shehukhashu Ubasev Huzamu. But Rav Achbar Yavika says, but these Edom were never Hukhashu at all. Because Dina Kavasayu Paskinan. Since B'chal Masayim Manad, what they're being Machayev is the smaller amount, and it's included in what the other people are being Machayev. So Basin is going to pass that he's chayav that amount, so it's going to end up that Basin is going to pass it exactly like these Edom said. So why do you call that Hukkashu? So these Edom were never Hukkashu, so you can't prove anything from the ratio. So that was Rachel with Yerubikus Kasha, and he asked it to Rav Ashi. He's after the days of Rava. They had heard that Rava brought this Brisa, and particularly that he brought the ratio of this Brisa as a raya that Hukkashu Tchilas Hazama. So Rachel with Yerubikus says, I don't understand how could he prove anything from the ratio of this Brisa. The ratio of this Brisa does not contain any Hukkashu. So Rav Ashi says back, Amrle, Rav Ashi said back to him that you're right, from the Reisha alone there isn't a Raya. He really used the Reisha to build his Raya from the Seifa. So let's start with the Seifa. The Seifa, L'cher, is a Raya, right? Because that's, because of the same Svara, the Rachav Adyavika said, that the Edom that say Demei Shein, they never really get a Hakasha. Okay, good. So in the Reisha, where the Edom Zemim were the ones that said Demei Shein, so they never got a Hakasha. But in the Seifa is Geshmak. The Seifa is a case where the Edom Zemim are the ones that say Demei Ayin. So then when there's a Trey Utrey, we paskin against them. The Dina is not Kavasaya Paskina, because when two Edom say Demei Shein and two Edom say Demei Ayin, we're not going to paskin Demei Ayin. So over there, you have a real Hakasha. So whatever problem Rachav Yerubika had with the Reisha, you don't have with the Seifa. So the Chayra, we could simply say that there's a Raya from the Seifa. In the Seifa, you have a Trey Utrey, and we pass in against these Edom, so that's Hukkashu. Because again, in the Seifa, the Edom Zemim were the ones that said Demei Ayin. So when it was a Trey Utrey, and we pass in against them, that's Hukkashu. And then the next day, when two Edom come and say Manuism, that's Huzmu. So this is Hukkashu L'Mosef Huzmu. And it says in the price that they have to pay Kashuzamim. But this is Kashuzamim. They paid Demei Ayin to the Adoin. L'Mosef, they're paying the Kashuzamim. So you see the Edom Hukkashu L'Mosef Huzmu are still Chayavim. So that would be simple. Rav Ashi could have just turned to Rav Achav Radio Vik and said, okay, you're right, you don't have a right from the Reisha, but you have a right from the Seifa, because for the same svar that you were saying, then the ratio, we don't see the Edom Zemim becoming Hukkashu. Good, but in the same, we do see them becoming Hukkashu. The reason why it's not so simple, however, the reason why he can't just say that, and the reason why Rav needed to bring in the ratio, is because in the Seifa, you're right, the Din is not Kvasayu Paskinon. But you see, that's a double-edged sword. Rav Achav Yerubika wanted that it should be... Rav Achav Yerubika was bothered that if you're talking about the cat that we did paskin like, there's no hakasha. So what are you going to say? Fine, take the seifa, because then we're focusing on the cat that we don't paskin like. But the problem is then, and this Rashi fills in, the Gemara doesn't really speak it out, but then you have the opposite problem. If we never paskin like this cat, so how can they become Edom Zemimim? It was never Nigmar HaDin Al Pihem. Edom Zemimim requires us the Mishnah Makastav, hey, Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zemimim Ad Sheigamar Adin Al Pihem. If two Edim walk into Beis Din and say that Reuven borrowed $100, and before Beis Din had a chance to, they were in the middle of cross-examining them, they didn't yet decide whether he's Chayev or he's not, and then two other Edim come and say, Manu Yisim Ma complaining, they don't become Zemimim. They only become Zemimim if they said Reuven borrowed $100, and Beis Din said, oh, okay, and we used the example earlier, they banged the gavel. They said, Reuven, chayev atal l'shalim, you have to pay $100. And then two Edom come and say, I'm not going to complain if these two Edom are really false witnesses, then those two Edom have to pay to Reuven, I see like Hashazam, alas, is l'achav. But ein ha'edim nasim Zemimim ad she gamar din al p'yem, there has to be a gamar din al p'yem, meaning Beis Din has to paskin like them. So in the case of the Seifa, there wouldn't be any hazam at all. They shouldn't be able to become Zemimim at all, because it was never Nigmar HaDin Al Pihem. So the case of the Seifa doesn't work for the same reason why as a raya, the case of the reisha doesn't work. The case of the seif also doesn't work because it's almost like a flip side of the same coin. Rav Achavad Yerivika didn't like the reisha because these idiom were never hukchash, since the dinu was kavasayu paskinan, so that's not a case of hukchashu. But the case of the seifa is no good because these idiom would never become zayim because it was, since dina was not kavasayu paskinan, so it was lending regin al pm. So basically, we have an impossible. What we're looking for is something impossible. We want to find a katav edim. If Rava wants to bring a raya from this brisa, that he could have edim that were hukhashu, and then they're huzmu, and they'll pay kashu zamam, it's impossible. Because you have two pairs of edim, right? There's a treyu trey. There's two that say that he's chayav d'mei ayin, and there's two that say he's chayav d'mei shein. So, based on paskins, like one of them. The one that based on paskins, like, okay, they could become edim zayim, because they're nigmar din al pm. But you're never going to prove from that idim shehuk kashul besides huzmu because they never had a hakasha. The other pair of edim, the one that lost, they had a hakasha, but they can't become edim zayim because they never had a nigra din al pm. So you want to find a case where it was kavasayu paskinon leinyan that it was nigra din al pm, but it was not kavasayu paskinon leinyan that they had a hakasha. So that's impossible. It's a type of disaster. So that's why there's really a dilemma over here. How you can't prove from the Reisha, because the Reisha, they had no Akasha, because Dina Kavasayu Paskinan. And the Seifa, because the Dina was not Kavasayu Paskinan, so it was never Nigmar Din LPM. So how are you going to get around that? So Rav Ashi has to come up with the Chap. Yes, it's the Seifa. We're working on the Seifa. But the Chap is that you didn't have both kites come to basin together, or one after the other, and then basin after hearing both of them, they paskin the din. The edim zaymim came first. The edim zaymim were the ones that said demei ayin, right? They said shein then ayin. So the edim was chayav the demei ayin. They came to basin first, and they came on Sunday, and basin heard them, and there were no other witnesses, so they banged the gavel. It's nigmar din al pm. On Monday, the other edim came in, the ones that said that it was the ayin and then the shein, so he was only chayav the demei shein. Now that's a hakasha. So they had nigmar din al pm, and now on Sunday, and now they have hakasha on Monday. The reason why we found it a tarti disaster was it was an impossible. What we were looking for was impossible to find was because we were imagining the edim zayim were coming second. That was the way the case was set up from the beginning. The first you had a cat that said the opposite, but then the edim zayim came and they said the reverse of the first cat. So, when they came in, it was immediately a trey u'trey, and there was a winner and a loser, right? Basin was going to pass like one and not the other. So then we were bothered by Manushach. In the case where Basin Paskins like them, there's no Hakasha. In the case of Basin Paskins against them, it was never Nigmar Din al PM. So Rav Ashi's chap, the way he solves that problem, is to reverse the order. Have the Edim Zemim come first and say that he's chayav the Dmei Ayin. So it's Nigmar Din al PM because they're the only Edim in town. So Avad the Beis will accept their edus. Then the other edim come in on Monday. They say that no, it was the ayin and then the shein, and the other is only chayav the demei shein. So now becomes a tarti a trey u'trey. And now he says, oh, we're not going to make him pay the demei ayin anymore. Yesterday we thought he should pay the demei ayin, but now we don't know if he's chayav the demei ayin. It's the trey u'trey. So they take back that p'sak. So that's a hakasha. They just becomes batal. And then on Tuesday, edim come in and say, though the edim that came in on Sunday, Iman Rizim are complaining, they really was a false edim altogether. So now it's an edim shehuk kashul b'seif huzmo. So the sefer then is a good raya. The edim shehuk kashul b'seif huzmo are neragim, meaning that we carry out a kashul zamam, even though there was a hakash before the hazamam, provided that we accept that the sefer is a case of three steps, that and the Edim Zemim came first, followed another pair that was Mahapechet, so that's the Hakasha, followed by a third pair that's Mazim them. Now the problem is that once you're setting it up this way, so that second pair is really extra. Why do they need to be a separate pair? Why don't you just do this with, you know, they came on Sunday and they said Shane and then the Ayin, so he's Chayav the Demeha Ayin. And then you have on Monday another pair that's Mepach Vahazam, Apchinu Vahazminu. The pair that comes on Monday, they'll say, Imanu Isim Malkin Plaini, But it really did happen, but it didn't happen in that order, it happened in the opposite order. Where did Rava dream up that the Braisa in the Seifa has three pairs of Edim on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? Let it be a case where the Edim came on Sunday, and then Monday's Edim did everything. They were Apchinu Vazminu, and they were Mazim first, so you never really see that you could have a Hakasha followed by Hazamah, and we'll still do a Kasha Zamah. Dr. Vashi, that's why Rebbe started with the Reisha. Rebbe said, you're right. If we were just looking at the Seifa, we could have interpreted it as a case where there's just two pairs, and the second cat is Abchinu Ve'azminhu, and therefore you don't really see anything about a case of Hukhashu Ul B'Seif Hozmu. You don't see that from the Seifa. But I start with the Reisha. And the Reisha has to be a case of three pairs, not two pairs. And from the fact that the Reisha is three pairs, so media Reisha, but B'Shal Shkite, so then that we would infer that the Seif is also with three pairs of Edim, and oh, once the Seif is with three pairs of Edim, so then, and if you set it up in the order that Rav Ashi said, then it'll come out that you see that Koshech L'Sazava. So he starts off with the Reisha, and he says, look, the Reisha has to be with three pairs. Now, why? Okay, so let's pin him down over there. Why does the Reisha have to be with three pairs? Why can't the Reisha, the case with Edim Zemim, Amachayev Demei Shein, why can't that also be a case where they came into Basin, and they said that he said that he beat up his Eved and he knocked out an eye and then a tooth. And then another pair of Edim come and say, you weren't even there, and one of these is not complaining. But on a different day, he beat up his Eved and knocked out a tooth and then an eye. Well, just like Mepach Hazam was a good pshat on the Seifa, why can't it be a good pshat on the Reisha? So Rav Ashi speaks out, no, in the Reisha, it's not a good pshat because you remember that line in the Reisha, that the strangest line in the whole Braisa. And the Braisa said that these Edim walk into Beis Din, and they say that this guy beat up his Eved, he knocked out his eye, he knocked out his tooth, and then the Braisa said, Shaharei Rav Oimer Kain. That's just what the master was waiting for. That's what the master wants. Huh? The master says something like, that's his story. He's applauding them. He says, yeah, that's what I did. Now, what? That doesn't make any sense. You're saying a terrible thing about him. Why would he be saying, yeah, that's what I did? So it only makes sense if they came second. If there was another pair, and this is what the Gemara said back on Ayin Gimel Beis, that in the Reisha, you have to say there was a different pair that came in and said that he knocked out his Eved's tooth and then eye. These Eidim come and say he knocked out his Eved's eye and then tooth. So that which they're saying that he beat up his Eved and the Eved goes free, that's an old story. That's not what they're being Mechadesh. All they're changing is that he doesn't have to pay the Demei Ayin, he only has to pay the Demei Ashen. That's wonderful news for the Adin. That's why Harei Rav Oimer Kain. So because of that launch, Harei Rav Oimer Kain, the Reisha, because of that launch, Harei Rav Oimer Kain, the Reisha had to be B'Shal Shkitetz. So look at Vashi, Rav went like this. He starts with the Reisha, even though the Reisha will never prove HaKosh Tchilas HaZama. Because, like Rav Acha Rav Yovika pointed out, in the Reisha, the Edim Zemim were never Mukhesh. Because when it was a Trey Utrey, the Din was Kavasayu Paskina. They were the winners, not the losers. So that wasn't the case of Akash Chedil Sazama. But nevertheless, Rava, for good reason, started with the Reisha. He said, look at the Reisha. He said, look at the Reisha. And you'll see that the Reisha has to be with three pairs of Edim, not two pairs of Edim. Now, why is that? Now, that doesn't show me anything of Lagabe Mai Halacha. But what that does is, once I see the Reisha with three pairs, so the Seif is also with three pairs. The Seif, you didn't have to learn with three pairs. The Seif, you could have said Vemepech Vazama. But because the Reisha is with three pairs, the Seif is also with three pairs. And if the Seif is with three pairs, and the order of those three pairs has to be that the Edim Zemim came first, right? Because otherwise it would never be Nigmar Adin Alpiyam. So the Edim Zemim came first, and then it was Nigmar Adin. And then another pair of Edim came and said the opposite. So you have a hukkashu, and then a third pair of Edom come and says, Imanu Yisem, so you have hukkashu, huzmu, and the Braisa that says that they have to pay the Demei Ha'ayin, Yisiva, Sisim Lakasha Zomam, even though it was a hukkashu, huzmu. So that's how Rabba brings his Raya. The Raya really is from the Seifa, but the Seifa wouldn't have to be talking in a case of Shalash Kitois if not for the Reisha. But the Reisha has to be talking about Shalash Kitois. That indicates that the Seif is also B'Shal Ishkites, and the Seif of B'Shal Ishkites has to be a case of HaKosha V'Acher HaZama, so that's a riot to Rav's Chiddush, that HaKosha T'Chilat HaZama, that in M'Shukhush L'B'Seif Huzmo, and Neragim. And then the last step of this, and then Abaye comes back and he says, I still don't agree, even after your whole elaborate Shikol Torah, I don't agree. I don't accept that Hakasha Tchilas HaZama, that in Shikol Shulbs HaFuz Morgan Min HaRagin, because you're right, the Reisha, look, you yourself said that the Reisha, what's the only half of the Brisa where you see for sure that there's three pairs, that's the Reisha. And that doesn't prove anything. The Reisha doesn't prove Hakasha Tchilas HaZama because there was no Hakasha over there. The only part, half of the price that would prove how Kosher Tchilas HaZama, if it was B'shal HaShkitais, is the Sefer. But the Sefer doesn't have to be B'shal HaShkitais. The Sefer could be B'shtei Kitais, B'Apchinu V'Azminu. So that's how I'll learn the price. That the first case is with B'shal HaShkitais, and the Sefer is with B'shtei Kitais, B'Apchinu V'Azminu. Meaning the step that Rav said that if the ratio is B'shal HaShkitais, the Sefer is also B'shal HaShkitais, that Abai says, no, I don't think that they have to be so symmetrical. Let the ratio be B'shal HaShkitais and the Sefer will be B'shtei Kitais. So that brings us to the end of the Shaka V'Tarya. A very complicated Shaka V'Tarya. And like we said, it was spaced out over a lot of Gemara with other things coming in between. But this is the end of the story of, it's not the end of the sugya of Hakasha Tchilas HaZama, but it's the end of the raya from the Braisa that Rav started off on the previous Amud. And then he said, Amud, how do I know that? And he brought this Braisa, and when we get to the bottom of Ayin Dalar Man Aleph, we're supposed to understand what the raya is from the Braisa and what Abaye disagreed with. So let's read this inside from Amar Lei. And every time I look at this Gemara, it looks like Amar Lei Rav, but it's not. Amar Lei, Rav Ashi said back to Rav Acha Bar Yavika, Rav Sava, Rav held that midi reisha b'shal HaShkitais, since the reisha has to be b'shal HaShkitais because it says a Rav Eimer Kain, so Sefer Nami b'shal HaShkitais, so the Sefer will also have three kitais. V'dayik mi Sefer, and then Rav will v'dayik from the Sefer. I'm going to speak out what Rav Ashi doesn't include, but Rashi throws in for us. I in the Sefer B'shal HaShkitais, it doesn't make any sense because then it was never Nigmar Din Al PM, because if you have two Edim that said Dimei Shein and then they come and say Dimei Ayin, so basically we never pass like them. So here's Rav Ashi's trick. Going to also betray the Omri Hippel Hashine V'Simei Es'inoi, meaning these Edim, the Edim Zeimim, the ones that we're focusing on the Sefer, they came first. And they said, Shein then Ainu Paskinu Dina Pumayu, and we paskined like them because they were the only Edim in town. And so we paskined that the Odin is Chayav Demeya Ayin, that's a Nigmar Din Al PM. Now they are eligible for Hazama. But then, Mazu Betray Achrini Va'amri Simeya Sein Ebe Hippel Hashinai. Then two other Edim come and say, no, it was the other way around, Ayin and Tooth. And he's only chayav the Dmei Hashein. The Kamak Chashi Lehu Lahani Kamoi. Now these middle Edim are being Makhish the first Edim. And then when him to Zaymim, and then the first Edim turned out to be Zaymim, meaning then a third Kalk comes on Tuesday and says, Manu Yisim Bakomplaining. Then Mishalman the Me'ayin L'Rav, and it says in the Braisa that they owe the master the Me'ayin because of his Lakash Hazama B'Yisal Kadaitach. And now Rav says, if you wouldn't accept my Chiddush, if you would say that Hakash Allah Tchilas Hazami, that Hakash is not Tchilas Hazama, and therefore Hakash before the Hazama disqualifies them from any future Hazama, then Amay Mishalmi, why do they have to pay him? They already hookush before they were with them. Elish Mami, no. So you see from here, from the fact that the Braisa says in this case that they do get a kasha zamim, the hakasha techilas hazamahi. You see from this pshat in the sefer that hakasha techilas hazamah. The Abaye Amelcha Abaye will tell you that no v'shlama reisha le'sagi b'leisha le'shkitais. Abaye says the reisha taka is muchach, that's v'shal le'shkitais. That I grant you, but that doesn't prove anything because over there they would have a hukash. So ketani re'av remikain. Here's where the Gemara speaks out. What? We could have used earlier, right? Rav Ashi didn't really speak it out. But when Rav Ashi started off, midi reisha b'shal HaShkitais, he didn't really tell us how did he know the reisha was b'shal HaShkitais. But over here in this line of the Gemara, we see, because Abaye says, I concede that the reisha is b'shal HaShkitais because it says Rav Ravei Mekan, and that can only make sense b'shal HaShkitais. Ela seifa lama l'shal HaShkitais, but in the seifa, why do we need shal HaShkitais? Rav Eved Oim Mekan. The Braisa says that the Eved is applauding. Eved kol du meimer amar denichalei den Eved kol cheres. The Eved will applaud whatever these Edom say. The eye and then the tooth and then the eye. He's been a slave for 50 years. He's been a slave for 10 generations. And now these Edom are coming in and setting him free. Of course he's going to be happy. Whether he's going to get $100 out of it or $100,000 out of it, he's going free. So of course he's going to be happy. So the Sefer doesn't force you to say that there was any context, that there were any other Edom that were amazing before these Edom came. So therefore the Sefer could be Mishtekites. So therefore I'm going to learn the Sefer Mishtekites. And there's no Raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Amos. So, bottom line, I guess second to bottom line, okay, but we get to the end of this Shaka Vitaria on the second to bottom line, and we have Rava with his Raya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tchilas Hazama, and Abaya who holds HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lav Tchilas Hazama. Now, we'll go on to the next Gemara. There's a lot in the Rishonim on this Gemara that we learned. I mean, there's just take, if you take a look at your daf, you see there's a Tosfos on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, which looks like a big Tosfos, and then if you look harder, you'll see that it continues on to the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. So it's taka a big Tosfos. And there's also not only that, there's a whole Arichas on the Balamar and the Ramban. Whenever there's a Balamar and the Ramban on the back of the Gemara, it's complicated and it's Yisodistic. It's all about the nitty-gritty, the details of the Shakla Vitaria, of this Gemara, the Raya from the Reisha, the Raya from the Seifa, the Shtei Kitas, the Shalish Kitas, which order. But we're not going to do all of that. We're going to let it go. I'm just going to do one fun thing before we go on to the next Gemara. I want to be more a case. Tesis talks about this case. We're not learning the Tesis, so we're not going to learn it with the whole context of how it affects the Shakla Vitaria. I'm just going to describe a case to you, and we're going to just schmooze through what do you think the din should be in such a case? And again, we're going here alibi da abaya, meaning if you don't accept Rava's premise, if you don't hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tchilas Hazama, if you hold the Inim Shehukru Shel B'Seif Huzmu are not Nebragin, because there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zamam if you had, you know, a working Eidos, and then they became Huzam, then there's a Kashu Zama. But if they were Hukushul B'Seif Huzam, then there's no Kashu Zama. Listen to this case. Edom come in on Sunday, and they say one way, right? Whichever way. Let's say they say that the Demei Ayin and then the Demei Shein. Edom come in on Monday, and they say, you say that you saw this master, what the master did to the other, and you weren't even there. Imanu Yisim while complaining. But we were there on a different day. Right? You say this happened last Sunday. You weren't there last Sunday. You were with us in Orlando. But on Monday, we were there. All right, so these days are coming on Monday, Parshas Habakkuk Kaisai. They say that Sunday of Parshas Zemar, nothing happened. But, right, because, again, the Edom that came in, let me start again. The Edom came in on Sunday of Habakkuk Kaisai, and they say that on Sunday of Parshas Emar, this master beat up his Eved, the tooth, and then the eye. Two Edom come in on Monday of Parashas Baruch Hu Kaisai, and they say that last Sunday, Imanu Yisim are complaining. But last Monday, this Adam beat up his Eved, and it was the other way around. It was the eye and then the tooth. So there was a Hakosha and a Hazama. And then on Tuesday, two other Edom come in and say that these Edom that claim that last Monday they saw the Adain beat up his Eved, Imanu Yisim are complaining. They really are liars. Okay, so there were two Hazamas in the story. The Monday Edom were Mazim, the Sunday Edom. The Tuesday Edom were Mazim, the Monday Edom. Now, I want to know if these Monday Edom should pay. Should pay Kashazam. They were conspiring to make, they made up a lie, and they were conspiring. Which way was it? They were the ones that said Demei Shein, which means they were conspiring to take away the Demei Ayin from the Eved. So if we carry out a Kasha Zaman, they should have to pay Demei Ayin to the Eved. Do they have to pay or not? I'm going according to Abaya, who holds Hakasha Lav Tchilas Hazama. So if there's a Hakasha first and then a Hazama, then then there's no Kasha Zaman. These Edom, on Tuesday they became Huzam. On Monday, they were saying Ayin followed by Shane. There were already Edom on Sunday that said Shane followed by Ayin. So they were hukash already. So barring Rav Acha bar Yerevika's problem, let's leave that aside. You can switch around who said what. I wasn't being particular about that. Well, let's just call it that they came in on Monday and they said an Eidos, but on Sunday someone had said the opposite Eidos, so it was a trey. So there was a hakasha. Then on Tuesday they become huzam. So if you hold like a baya that a hukashu v'achakachuzmu is potter, so I would say that they're potter. Because they were hukash before they were huzam. Maskim, you like that? That they should be potter because they were hukash before they were huzam, because Sunday they had them said the opposite. Or maybe, what?
It's kind of like putting both cases together.
Yeah, it is. Let's try to. Now, on the other hand, maybe you should say, yeah, they weren't hukash because they were mazim Sunday's Eidim. True, they were Eidim on Sunday that said that the Shane and then the Ayin, but those Eidim were found to be liars. And when they came in on Monday, they said the Sunday Eidim were Yimanu Yisimah complaining, and really it happened the Ayin and then the Shane. So that wasn't a trey, they weren't hukash. They were, because they were Mazim, the first pair of Eidim. So now we're looking at them as the true and rightful Eidim. So there's no Akasha on them. So if there's no Akasha, so then tomorrow when they become Huzam, they should be Chayav and Kashu Zamam. Maskim? Hey, but on the other hand, on Tuesday, when they become Huzam, it turns out that when what they said on Monday about the Sunday Eidim having been Mama complaining being in Orlando was not really true. The Hazama of Sunday's Eidim gets overturned when Monday's Eidim become Huzam. Which means that Sunday's Eidus was a good Eidus, so which means that what they said on Monday about how it was the tooth and then the eye and then the tooth was Bahakasha, because there were Eidim on Sunday. And a minute ago I told you, yeah, but those Eidim on Sunday got eliminated because they were Huzam. Yeah, but their Hazama got undone on Tuesday. So now, when we go back to Monday, we say that their Eidus was Bahakasha, because they were saying tooth and then the eye and then the tooth, but their Eidim on Sunday, they were saying tooth and then the eye. So therefore, they shouldn't be eligible for Hazama. So now, again, I started off, I said that, you know, Eidim came and were mazim them, so let's make them pay. But no, they were hukash first, right? Because they were contradicting the Sunday Eidus. So according to Abaye, the Indian Shukh Shulam Puzmu, there's no Kashu Zama, so it should be Potter. But then I said, no, since they were Mazim Sunday's Eidim, so it's like Sunday's Eidus was eliminated, and yet only Monday's Eidus, so they were not Hukhash. So if they're not Hukhash, they should be able to become Huzam. Now I'm saying, on third hand, that since on Tuesday when they become Huzam, that undoes the Hazama of Sunday's Eidim, so now they are hukash again. So if they are hukash again, so then they shouldn't be eligible to become huzam. So I think that should be. Let's call it for now. Let's call that a bottom line. I mean, if we think through all the edios, we should say that, well, after Tuesday's edos, it turns out that Monday's edos was false, which means that Sunday's Eidus was true, which means that Monday's Eidus was really hukhash, so we shouldn't do a kashru zamam. Now here's the thing. So if we're not going to do a kashru zamam, meaning if the din of the parash of Eidim Zayimim is not going to apply in this case, then maybe also the din that we consider their Eidus to be false shouldn't apply. In which case, meaning, we're not doing Kashu Zamam because they were hukash first. But if we're not doing Kashu Zamam, meaning we're not considering them Eidim Zayimim, if we're not considering them Eidim Zayimim, that means that we never undid their Hazama of the first pair. They were Mazam the first pair, right? But then we said, yeah, but they were liars. So the first pair has a good Eidus. But now, wait, but they got to add on a technicality. They don't really become Eidim Zayimim, because since they're Hukash before they're Huzam, they don't really become Eidim Zayimim. So they're not necessarily liars. They're Trey, right? We don't know who's telling the truth. They're not necessarily liars. Which means that Sunday's Eidim Sunday's Edim, their Hazama could come back, at least possibly, in which case maybe there isn't a Hakasha on the Monday Edim. Meaning if there is a Hakasha, and so then that's a Sibah to say there's no Hazama. But if there's no Hazama on them, that's a Sibah to say that there is a Hazama on the Sunday Edim, and there's no Hakasha on the Monday Edim. And if there's no Hakasha on the Monday Edim, then there should be a Hazama on them. If there is a Hakasha, that's a Sibah to say there's no Hazama. But saying there's no Hazama is a Sibah to say that there's no Hakasha, in which case there could be a Hazama. So you get yourself into a circle, into a sort of a loop, what's the word that I'm looking for? A logical circle where a paradox. What?
Is it catch 360?
Something like that. I think the word I'm looking for is a... What?
Circular logic?
Circular reasoning,
catch
yeah.
22.
A catch 22, a paradox. A paradox, basically, it's a logic that self-destructs. If you call them Zaymimim, then they were Mukhesh first, and then they shouldn't be able to become Zaymimim. So, okay, so they're not Zaymimim. But if they're not Zaymimim, then they were Mazim Sunday's Edim, so they're never Mukhesh. And if they're never Mukhesh, then they should be Zaymimim. So, that's a dilemma. Okay? We're not going to try to work it out. I don't say, one step of what I was calling this logical paradox, one step is very debatable in Lumdus. But again, I don't want to, which is, you know, where it gets into, maybe at the end of the sugya, if we're talking about the Lumdus, we'll dust this off, we'll bring back this case, and we'll bring it back out. But in the meanwhile, if you take a look at the Tesis, in the middle of the Tesis, and I give them a base, Tesis brings in this case, and Tesis assumes one way, and that's what gets everybody talking about this paradox. Yeah, Yaakov?
I was just going to ask the status of the middle guys. The first Mizim.
That's what we're all wondering.
Are they supposed to be Batel or no?
Oh, very good. So you, Yaakov really, Yaakov just identified what's the Lumdus and Nakuda over here. When we say, so I'm just going to, very because I want to go on to the next Gemara, which I think. I wanted to go into the next Gemara half an hour ago. But just very bekitzer, what's the lumdish and nekuda over here? Again, this is it's very geschmack to think about this case because of the circle and try to figure out what you do with this logical circle that hakash, if they are mukhash, then they're not muzam, and if they're not muzam, then they're not mukhash, and if they're not mukhash, then they are huzam, and it goes around and around and around. But there's a step in there which is debatable, which is totally in a hakira, and I think Yaakov identified exactly what that is. And according to Abaya, who holds the hakasha latchilas hazama, if you have eidim shehukhashu ubasev huzmu, they don't become zaymim. What do we mean when we say they don't become zaymim? Let me take a step back. What do we mean when we say that eidim do become zaymim? When we apply the parasha of zaymim, we really do a lot of things. One is that we punish them. We find eidim to be zaymim, we punish them. Another aspect of the parsha of Edim Zayimim is that we have an opinion, we have a decision about who's right and who's wrong. That's separate from the punishment. Usually when two Edim come in, right, two Edim say, shaharag, and two Edim say, loharag, we call it a trey v'trey, right? Somebody throws the get, two Edim say, karvlan, two Edim say, karvlan, we call it a trey v'trey, which always means we don't know. When you have two Edim say this way, and two Edim say that way, we don't know what happened. But when you have two Edim say that Reuven borrowed, and two other Edim say that say, imanu yisam vacham plaini, so then we paskin that the first Edom were liars. And now we're not saying we don't know if he borrowed, we're saying he didn't borrow. So that's the second thing that happens from the parasha of Edom Zayimim. Right? One is that, I should really put it in the other order, that should be the first. Right? The parasha of Edom Zayimim tells me that those Edom are liars. We believe that their story is false. Unlike a regular trey where we say we don't know whose story is false, but Edim Zaymim, we say that we believe their story is false. Secondly, we punish them. You told a false story, you have to pay for that. When Abaya tells us, again, Abaya being the Bar Plukta on Rav Rav, it tells us that Edim Shokush Seif Huzmu are also Neragim, but Abaya argues and says, no, if they're Hukushu Seif Huzmu, they're not Neragim. So what does that mean? They're not nerugim, meaning they don't get the punishment. Does it also mean that they don't have the whole din of Edom Zayimim? And in this case, it blibes a trey v'trey? Or no? Maybe that which the Edom that say Imanu Yisem are believed, and the Edom that said that he borrowed money or hargas a nefesh or beat up his Eved, they're not believed. They're liars. That's all true. Even if they're Hukushal B'Saif Huzmu, they're still Edom Zayimim. They just don't get the punishment. That's the Chakira. Does, when we say, again, Abaye Shita, we pass it like Rabbah, but in Abaye Shita, Rabbah Zahava meaning we'll call it, right? Well, Rabbah would have said, if not for our Kosh Chilas Hazama, or Abaye Shita, that Edom Shehukushal B'Saif Huzmu don't become Zayimim, does that mean just that they don't become Zayimim in the punishment, but we do consider their ages to be false? Or does it mean no? They don't become zaymim at all. So it's a regular trey u'trey, and we don't know who's telling the truth. So the depending on which side you say in this chakira, that'll affect what the case that we were calling the circle, the paradox. It's only a paradox one way, not the other. But inkam makam laharach. Okay, maybe again something to think about on your own if you'd like, and maybe when we get to the end of the Shaka Pataria, we'll come back to it. Meanwhile, I want to go on to the next piece of Gemara, Maskar over there, which is a little bit of a change of pace, even though, like I said yesterday, the Gemara shuffles back and forth between the Achach Tchilas HaZama Sugya and the Shein Ba'ayin Sugya. This next Gemara has nothing to do, you know, subsequently we're going to come back to Achach Tchilas HaZama, but this next Gemara has nothing to do with Achach Tchilas HaZama, with Edim Zeimimim, Abaya and Rava, all of that we could put aside. This is just, hey, you know, in the course of this discussion, we brought a brisa talking about an interesting case of a master with his slave, and Rav Zeira has a kasha on that halacha. What did we learn in this brisa? That when a master beats up his slave, so if a master beats up his slave, he knocks out a tooth, the Torah tells us what happens. The Eved goes free. If a master beats up his slave, he knocks out an eye, the Torah tells us what happens. The Eved goes free. What about if a master beats his slave up on good? And he knocks out both, he knocks out a tooth and an eye. So it was Mavur in this Brisa. Again, the Brisa was real complicated. We could have, you know, erased it safer with you know, two cases in which there were agents that said one way, agents said the other way. But let's put all that aside. I don't care about any of that. We're not dealing with Hilchos Edom Zayimim right now. What was clear, what was a given throughout the Brisa was that if the master does both, then there are two separate consequences. For the first one, the Eved goes free. And for the second one, whichever comes second, the master has to pay the Eved. Maskin for Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira asked the Kasha, who says? Why? What, where did that thing come from? Ema, why don't we say? See me a seino, if he knocks out his eye, maybe peino, then the Eved goes free for the eye. Hippolis, you know, if there's a different case where a master knocks out a tooth, maybe peino. Then the Eved goes free with the tooth. And in the third case, the case that we've been talking about, Simeas Enoi the Hippolashino, where the master does both and he knocks out the eye and the tooth, Nepuk Beini Vashinoi. Let him go out with the eye and the tooth, meaning let both of them contribute to making the Eved go free. Why does the Braisa think that he should pay money for the second one? That's Rav Zeira's kasha. Then the case where the master knocks out two limbs, the Eved should go free with the two limbs. Now, before and Abaye is going to say back, you're tying good, but the Pesach says not like that. He says if you read carefully in the Pasuk, you'll see that the Pasuk phrased this parsha in such a way, the Torah phrased it in such a way to eliminate your Havamina. You have a good Havamina, but the Torah told us not like that. Alecha Amar Kra, let's just read it. Amar Le Abaye, Alecha Amar Kra, meaning for your Havamina, the Torah had to speak out, Tachas Einoi. It says, Alechav Shishalchenu Tachas Einoi. From there we learn, V'loi Tachas Einoi Vishinoi. And there's a puzzle that also says, Alechav Shishalchenu Tachas Shinoi. From there we learn, V'loi Tachas Shinoi Ve'inoi. This repetitive expression, Tachas Einoi, it says that for me, doesn't just say that if a master knocks out the eye, he should go free. It is the words tachas einoi to emphasize that he goes free just for the ayin, and he never goes free for two limbs. He just goes free for one limb. So okay, Reb Zeira had this havamina that if the adonai knocks out two limbs, then the eved should go free for two limbs. Abaye says olach amar kro, which is really a compliment, right? He really means to be saying that you're tiny and good. The Torah also had that havamina, and the Torah had to write an extra expression to teach us not like that. If not for the gzeiras hakatzar, we would have said like you. That's what Abaye is saying. That if not for the gzeiras hakatzar, we would have said like you, but the gzeiras hakatzar teaches us otherwise. So now, I want to understand what was Reb Zeira's havamina here, which seems to be a very good havamina, because the Torah also had this havamina. Why would I think that in the case of an eye and a tooth, nepok he goes free with the eye and the tooth? What does that mean, he goes free with the eye and the tooth? If he goes through with the eye, so the tooth doesn't contribute anything. So what does that mean, he goes free with the tooth? So I think, some of this, I think Rashi means to be saying this also, I think that Reb Zeira is saying this kind of sarcastically or tongue-in-cheek when he says Nepuk Be'en Vishina, but he just means to say that second limb, the tooth, let's say, in the case of Eine Vishina, that second limb, he shouldn't also get money for that. When an other knocks out limbs from his Eved, he goes free. And as many limbs as he knocks out, that's all that happens. He just goes free. Avad, not that he needs to, in a case where there are two, they both make him go free. The first one makes him go free. But for the second one, there's nothing more that you never get more than that. That's what Reb Zeira meant. That you should never get more than just the going free. And why? Why did Reb Zeira think that? What's the svara here? We've been understanding this whole week or so that we've been learning this sugya that the first blow entitles him to go free. Then we look at him like a Ben Chayrin. The second blow is already against a Ben Chayrin, so he should get paid for it. Reb Zeira, I think, is saying that why in the second blow are we already looking at him like a Ben Chayrin? Is he a Ben Chayrin? The master knocked out his eye. Now, 2 minutes later, is he a Ben Chayrin? No. Why? No, you say no. Why?
I don't think he got the
shtar shikr. Okay, Yaakov is saying that's not what I was looking for, but Yaakov is saying a good point. He didn't get a shtar shikr yet. There's a machlekes tanoim. There's a machlekes tanoim in Gittin Daf Mem Beis whether he needs a shtar shikr or not. Sometimes say he doesn't need a shtar shikr. Sometimes say he doesn't need a shtar shikr. And there's also a shayla in the Gemara. Is even assuming that he needs a shtar shikr, le'inyan being able to marry a bas chayrin. But not necessarily does he need a shtar shechur le'inyan being treated as a ben chayrin in Hilchas Mamonis. So therefore, your answer is not really. That's why it's not what I'm looking for. First of all, it's machlokes tanoim. But even if you're right, and the Rambam says like the Rambam passes that he needs a shtar shechur, but there's a tzad in the Gemara that he doesn't need a shtar shechur le'gabi dini mamonis. So imishim ha, no, I would say that it makes sense, and we've been assuming all along that he should get paid. He should get paid for the second limb. After all, he's already a Ben Chayrin. Even if he can't marry Bas Yisrael yet, but he's at least in Mamonis, he's a Ben Chayrin. That's why he should get paid for the second limb. Nevertheless, Reb Zeira came in and asked Akashi. He said, no, I don't think he should get paid for that second limb. I don't think you should treat him as a Ben Chayrin yet. Why? Because what are we missing?
You didn't bring
him to Basin yet. That's the Kasha. Very good, Yaakov. Reb Zeira's Kasha is that... What? David, I'm sorry. All right, David. Reb Zeira's kasha is that when the master goes and he knocks out his eved's eye, so nothing's chal immediately, because first he has to go to Beis Din and bring witnesses, and Beis Din will paskin. If Beis Din is convinced that he knocked out his eved's eye, then Beis Din will paskin that this eved should go free. Then he goes free. And then you could clarify, does he still need a shtar shikr, or maybe he doesn't need a shtar shikr, but then at least he has a din to go free. But if the Eved, in the middle of that altercation, that where he was clobbering the Eved, so he punched him in the eye, and then he punched him in the tooth, there was no Amad Bedin in between, right? It was a 1-2 punch. So obviously there was no Amad Bedin in between, so he's still a slave. If he's still a slave, why should he go free? I'm sorry, if he's still a slave, why should he get paid? That's what Zeira's Kasha. Zeira's Kasha is that he shouldn't get paid for that second blow because he's not a Ben Chayrin yet. Now this kasha, that he's not a ben chayin yet, because you need the amad abinim for that. We call that, in this classroom, what have we been calling that? Whose svar is that? Who did we have earlier this week that said that when a master punches his eved, nothing is chal. It's not like breaking a window. That Rabbi Kimeir, this is Rabbi Zeir is asking Rabbi Kimeir's kasha. Rabbi Zeir is saying that this is knosis over here. Nothing's chal immediately when you do the ma'isa hamachayev. You need a hamad of a din. That's Mamash Rabbi Zeir's kasha. That since you need a hamad of a din, so you're not getting an eye and then a tooth. Why should he get paid for the tooth? Neipuk be'ein v'shinoi. He let him go free for the eye and the tooth, meaning he knocked out an eye, that's the sivit to go free. He knocked out a tooth, but it's still an eved. So good, you have two sivits to go free. But you don't have any sivits to pay tashlumin, as if he was a ben chayun, because he's not a ben chayun, he's still an eved. Because he needed a hamad of a din. Before the hamad of a din, there's no sivit to go free. So that's what Zayir's kasha. It's what we think of as Rabbi Kibeger's svara, that since this is a knas, nothing is really chal before the hamad of a din. To which Abaye responds and he says, no, it's not like that. The Torah says, "Tachas einoi, v'lo tachas einoi v'shinoi," that if you never need, it doesn't take an eye and a tooth to set you free. If you have an eye and a tooth, the eye set you free. And by the time you knocked out your tooth, even if it was a boom, boom, two punches like that, by the time you knocked out your tooth, you were ben chayrin. And then you're entitled to chamisha dvarim, you're entitled to the demei shein. What's Abaye saying back? Abaye saying back that the Rabbi Kibeger's svara is not right. We don't say that the chiyuv of the knas only goes into effect after the hamad b'din. If somebody does a ma'isa which is mechayvim in a knas, that knas goes into effect immediately. Now, it might not be actionable immediately because if there are no witnesses, nobody tells basis, so who's going to force the master? Yeah, practically speaking, he's not free. He's still working for his master because nobody knows. You need a hamad b'din. But the hamad b'din is just so that basin should be able to tell us that what happened at that moment set him free. But once there's hamad b'din and basin says, oh, we now hear that he knocked out an eye at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. He knocked out an eye. We now paskin that he went free at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. So if he knocked out a tooth at 6:01, now it's already Wednesday. By the time they came to Basin, Thursday. By the time they came to Basin, they made the hamad b'din, it's Thursday. But on Thursday, when Basin passed, this is what Abaye is being mechadish. Rav Zeir thought if they only come to Basin on Thursday, then at best he could become a ben chayrin on Thursday. Abaye says no. Alech amar kra tachas einu tachas einu v'shinoi. That if on Sunday morning he knocked out an eye at 6 o'clock and a tooth at 6:05. On Thursday, when they come to Basin, Basin is going to paskin that at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, he went free. And at 6:05, he was already a ben chayrin, and that's why he's entitled to the Demei Shinan. That's l'chayrin, the shakla v'tari over here. Reb Zeir's havamina, that he shouldn't get paid, is because until the Amad B'din, he's still an Eved. And Abaya's response, Alecha Amar Kro, is saying that there's a Gzeiras HaKosov, that no, it goes into effect retroactively. Now, the Tosfos, this pshat in the Gemara, is be'erech, the Tosfos on Daf Lamed Gimel. Tosfos on Daf Lamed Gimel basically points out that there's a stirut. I don't want to call it a stirut because Tosfos doesn't ask it as a kasha. I don't remember how I phrased it on the Maamar Kaima sheet. Something like Tosfos points out a tension between these two Gemaras. What?
A tension, yeah.
You know, that there's two Gemaras that you might have thought wouldn't shtim. It's like Tosfos, but look, you see from the Gemara and Daf, or there's two ideas that you might have thought wouldn't shtim, but you see from the Gemara and Daf Ayin Dalet that they shtim. What are these two ideas? So Tosfos says, on the one hand, you have this Gemara on Beis, where in the Shakam Taib, you know, Zeir and Abaya, and Mechira, and Abaya gets the last word, and Mechira, what he's saying is that Chiv, it's chal retroactively. That they need Ahmad Abedin on Thursday. But once they have that Ahmad Abedin, the chiv is then chal from Sunday morning. That's the Gemara number base. Now, based on that, we probably would have expected that if we're discussing whether he's called the Gavra Bar Chiyuva from Sunday or not, Lamay Nafkamina, if Eidim Zeimim will come into Beis Din on Tuesday, and say that this master beat up his Eved. Not Sunday morning. Sunday morning is when he really beat up his Eved. But they're going to say that he beat up his Eved on Monday morning or on Shabbos morning. They're going to come in and they're going to say a false, right? An untruthful story about something that truly happened, right? So based on what we learn now, we would say they should be patur because they're starting off with somebody who is really chayav. Again, if all the Eidim come, we finally find out all the facts, it turns out that we know that he really did it on Sunday and it was chal on Sunday, we should call him a gavra bar chayuva. And then the Eidim that came on Monday should be patur because even though they're zaymim, but they're being zaymim against somebody who is a gavra bar chayuva. So we would have expected that they should be patur. But the Gemara, on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara up above, said not like that. The Gemara Amud Aleph said that as long as they came before the Hamad of Adin, they'll be Chayev Akashu Zamam because they're starting off with a Gavra Lav Bar Chayuva. He beat up his Eved on Sunday and he had a Hamad of Adin on Thursday. If they came in the middle of that week on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Gemara says they're Chayev because the Gavra wasn't the Bar Chayuva. They were zaymim against somebody that did not yet have any chiyuv. The only time that they'll be patur is if they come after the Hamad of Adin. If they come after the Hamad of Adin, then they're starting over the Gavra Bar Chayuv, and then already they'll be patur. But from the Dmei HaEved. But if they come before the Hamad of Adin, they'll be chayuv. Now, what does that seem to say? If we're saying they'll be chayuv because the Gavra is not a Bar Chayuv, so what that means is that the chiyuv is only chal at the Hamad of Adin. That's the Gemara earlier on the Amud. The Gemara earlier on the Amud seemed to say the Chiv is only Chal at the Hamad of Adin. Until the Hamad of Adin, he's called the Gavra Lav Bar Chiyuv. No Chiv is Chal until the Hamad of Adin. But then you get to the top of Amud Beis, and you see that, yeah, Reb Zeira was thinking along those lines. That's why he thought that you shouldn't have to pay him as a Ben Chayrin for the Shein. But Abai says that no, the Torah says that you do have to pay him as a Ben Chayrin for the Shein. Which the Chayrin means that the Chiv is Chal. True, we don't know about it. Nobody paskins the chiv until the Hamad of Adin. But once they is the Hamad of Adin and they paskin the chiv is retroactive to the time that he did the Aveira. And then, at that point, we would think that he should be called the Gavra Bar Chayuva. So Tosfos says, look at the Gemara Meruba, and you see over there that even though the chiv is chal retroactively, but that doesn't make him a Gavra Bar Chayuva. Doesn't explain why. But Tosfos just says that's what you see in the Gemara in Meruba. Tosfos, again, he doesn't ask it as a kasha. He's out to prove, for what, again, it's negeh the sugya on Daf Lamed Gimel, which we're not going into, at least not today. But Tosfos wants to show you that you could have somebody that he does, officially he has a chiyuv, meaning after the Hamad of Adin, his chiyuv will be retroactive to the time that he did his Maisa Aveira. But nevertheless, he's not called the Gavra Chayuv until he actually has the Hamad of Adin. And he says, that's what you see from the Sugya in Meruba. Because you have these two Gemaras that on the one hand, the Gemara is saying that he's not called the Gavra Chayuv yet. But on the other hand, you see that the Chalais is really Chal from the time they did the Aveira. That's what his Meruba points out. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. Believe that though, Sunday, I want to continue with this discussion. But I want you to, again, so Sunday morning, we have a Shabbos also. Ideally, but certainly Sunday morning, as you're going over this Gemara, right, to try to put together what the Tosfos on Daf Lamed Gimel is showing, that you have these two Gemaras that you wouldn't expect them to shtim, these two Gemaras here in Meruba, and yet the Gemara says that they're both true. Okay.